Well, smoking bans have been good for public health. I don't think there's any doubt about that. What about for businesses? How has it affected the health of our businesses here in Wisconsin? We'll talk about that, among other things, with Dr. Mike Fiore of the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Larry Mueller here. Thank you for listening in today. And certainly want to talk about some research that's been done in this area here in Wisconsin. Want to talk a little about state funding. And we're also going to talk with you about quitting smoking or helping your relatives or friends quit smoking. All those things on our plate here for the next 40 minutes or so with Dr. Fiore. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Dr. Mike Fiore, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
Great to be here, Larry, and great to be here with your listeners.
Well, I tell you what, we've had some research. The Carbone Cancer Center did a study on smoking bans. Were they good for business? Did they hurt business? What were the findings of that study?
Well, the studies of the Cancer Center, led by Dave Ahrens, was reassuring in that it showed what has been shown in community after community, state after state, literally hundreds of studies now that have concluded that when a locality goes smoke-free, particularly when the state goes smoke-free, mm-hmm. because then you level the playing field, what you end up happening is achieving two key goals. First, health improves. Yeah. We know, for example, that the risk of an acute myocardial infarction for a whole community goes down when that community goes smoke-free. But we also know that when you look across a whole community, a whole state, that business improves. Now, that's not to say that there's not going to be a tavern or a pub or a restaurant that's going to hurt. And of course, we feel for any of those that do. But when we look in the aggregate, and what the Dave Ahrens study showed was consistent with every other state in America, that here in Wisconsin, making our state smoke-free has also helped business. And that means healthier hospitality workers and more hospitality workers on the payroll.
We spend a lot of money. How many smokers do we have here in Wisconsin, by the way?
Right now we have about 800,000 smokers. So that's about one out of every five Wisconsinites, adults, still smoke.
And I'm thinking back now. Has that number gone down? Has it...
Well, you know, we have made some progress, Larry. We'll take us back to when you and I were younger men in the 60s and 70s. At that point, about 45% of adults smoked. So about half of the population, including more than 50% of men. So we've gone from 45% back in the 60s to now 20%. But here's the good news. Since Wisconsin implemented its tobacco control program, and this is a program that Tommy Thompson implemented and did a wonderful job champion. It's really a nonpartisan issue. Since we initiated that and smoking rates were about 25-27%, we've cut them by a lot, and we're now down to 20%. So we've cut them by more than 20%. We're down to 20% of all adults.
And we've done that through a variety of programs.
We have, and that really speaks to the power of a comprehensive approach to reducing tobacco use in our state. It involves programs to help prevent young people from starting to smoke. It involves media campaigns that inform people both of the dangers of smoking, but then how to get help in quitting smoking. And, and of course, the programs that we help run at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health are programs to help smokers to quit. We got a great statistic. We're now at about 150,000 Wisconsin smokers have called the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line for help. So it's a program that has helped people in literally every community across the state. The challenge, Larry, of course, is that when Tommy Thompson started this program, he funded it at almost $25 million per year. In the last biennium, that funding was cut to $6.9 million. Yeah. So, unfortunately, we can't help as many people as we used to.
That funding, and we don't know, of course, what the funding is going to be like down the road, but I would think that it would be money well spent if you think about costs relating to dealing with the health issues of those who do smoke.
Oh, geez, there's such powerful statistics, Larry, to support that perspective. Here's one that I always get blown away by. The average smoker versus the average non-smoker, and we look at their healthcare costs. The average smoker costs the healthcare system $1,600 more per year.
Mm.
We know for Medicaid, you know, as the new governor and new legislature are considering how to cut Medicaid costs, there's really nothing that would do that more quickly or more powerfully than helping Medicaid recipients to quit. Smoking costs Wisconsin Medicaid 11% of their health care costs. That represents $500 million.
Wow.
And if we could up the rate of helping those Medicaid recipients to quit, we'd have return on those dollars invested within just 2 years. So it's also an incredibly quick return on the investment. And then, of course, that return stays for year after year after year. Medicaid recipients smoke at about 30% of that population, so it's an enormous need. Some of the programs we've had in the past haven't reached them. We need to do more to reach out to them, not only to improve their health, but to save the state money.
Dr. Michael Fiore, our guest today from the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, talking with him today about smoking and quitting smoking, talking about smoking bans and how it relates to business. I hope you'll join in with your questions. We'll take some calls now at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And as a matter of fact, caller online, Tom from Madison with us. So let's go. Can we go to Tom here? Maybe we can't go to Tom yet. Well, we'll get to Tom and just... We'll get to Tom in just a second. Yeah, we can go to Tom. Now we get a green light. Hey, Tom, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Good snowy morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, same to you.
Very timely, and from a personal standpoint, I'm on my third day in the program, and actually my 11th day, I guess it would be. I smoked for the first week, started the medication, and put the cigarettes down on Saturday. So my fingernails are a little bit redder, and I'm eating a lot of pistachios, but my question is, and it seems so obvious, and I am a smoker. I enjoyed parts of it. There was parts that I did not enjoy, but the smell, the burn holes, et cetera. But why in the hell do they sell the things? Why don't they just ban them? I mean, I can't imagine in the world that we live in now with the known health risks and the chemical additions to the products and everything that they would ever be allowed to be sold. No. And why can't? And I'm sure that there's tax issues and job issues and all that. But I mean, would a prohibition style banning force an organized crime type reaction that we get from drugs, for example? But I'll take my response off. But thank you.
All right, thank you, and congratulations.
Yeah, I want to echo your congratulations, Larry. Tom, 3 days. You're probably at the peak of your withdrawal symptoms. The most important message we give folks, this is a powerful addiction, and with addictions, the only way that works is not even a single puff. So stay with it. Use, the candies that you're using. Chew your nails if you need to. But key is not even a single puff. And what you're going to recognize, Tom, is within a week, you're going to have more breath and you're going to have more exercise tolerance. Within 6 months, your risk of a heart attack is going to decline by 50%. Within 5 years, your risk of cancer is going to begin to go down. So, Tom, you're doing a wonderful thing for yourself and your families, and I commend you. So to the issue of banning, you know, smoking is as old as the United States, and it was one of the first products that the country grew and exported, and there's a lot of history, and there's also the history of prohibition from alcohol more than 100 years ago that just didn't go well. You know, an important thing happened 2 years ago, and that is that the U.S. Congress and the president signed a bill that gave the FDA regulation over tobacco for the first time. You know, tobacco is the only product that, when used as directed, kills half of the people that use it. And one would say, how would we ever have such a product on the market? And it's just historic. But the FDA has some special authority that hopefully over the next couple of years they're going to use, and it includes gradually eliminating nicotine from cigarettes. And what we know is that people don't smoke cigarettes that don't have nicotine. It's going to be a process. We're going to help those addicted. But my hope is that while prohibition is probably not in the cards, gradually eliminating the addictive component from these cigarettes is, and with that, the potential to have a generation free of tobacco addiction. And I think that is in our future.
Thanks very much for calling. Regarding, he mentioned medication. I'm not sure what medication he was on, but somebody asked me, what about this nicotine-related gum that can be chewed and so forth? Is that in itself addictive, and is that harmful?
Yeah. Well, here's the good news, Larry, that nicotine, while addictive, is not harmful. Used as it is through gum or patches, it really is a safe product. And we know that people tolerate nicotine because they've already been tolerating it in their cigarettes. So it's not a new product that people are taking. What we find is that when people use nicotine to quit smoking, virtually all of them are able to put the nicotine down after they've broken the habit of smoking. But about 5 to 10% of people do end up using nicotine longer term, maybe even indefinitely. And what I always say is the goal is to get off of it. But if the contrast is using a little bit of nicotine even for the rest of your life versus returning to smoking, it's a no-brainer. From a health perspective, it's clearly safer. The goal is to get off everything. But we also have to be realistic that for some people, they may need to have as sort of a security device, some gum in their pocket, the nicotine lozenges, just to carry them through really difficult, high-risk, high danger situations regarding returning to smoking.
Let's go to Orly in Chippewa Falls. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. This one might be too harsh, but I'm going to say it anyhow. What about getting rid of the people who are on Badger Care and still smoking? Why can't you say, hey, if you're going to be using the state's money and the public's money, you don't get to smoke because, hey, there's another 11% or whatever it is out of that group that we're paying above and beyond.
Well, all of us are concerned about our state budget and looking for ways to cut. But, you know, here's what we know about smoking, that virtually all of people who are addicted to smoking as adults became addicted as children. More than 50% of smokers became addicted before the age of 16. And all of us made dumb decisions when we were kids. And unfortunately, a lot of people on Medicaid are among us, and they made a not smart decision and got addicted to cigarettes, in large part because the tobacco companies particularly market to low-income neighborhoods. You just go into an inner-city Milwaukee convenience store, and you are inundated with advertisements for Cools and other particularly menthol cigarettes because they're marketed at African-Americans. Most people who smoke today want to quit, and I think the more sensible approach then kicking them off Medicaid would be to provide services to help them to quit. And we've got the capacity to do that. And at the UW Medical School, we look forward to working with the new state government to help more Medicaid recipients to quit so that Medicaid can save money.
Talking today with Dr. Mike Fiore, Dr. Fiore with the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Join in with your questions as we talk with him about smoking and quitting smoking. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Many callers online right now to talk with Dr. Michael Fiore about smoking, smoking bans, and some relating to smoking bans in business. And I think we should get right to the phones. So let's go to Carla in Pewaukee next, who's been waiting a bit. Carla, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hi. My husband and I are just delighted by the smoking ban. We have poured a lot more money into the economy since it's gone through, going to little mom-and-pop restaurants, wandering into a bar to meet our neighbors and have a soda with them. And I don't see how it has hurt business at all. My concern is that Scott Walker has stated that part of his agenda will be to get rid of the smoking ban. And this just is making me crazy, and I'm wondering, how can I, as an individual citizen, do something to encourage him not to get rid of the smoking ban?
Well, Carla, I'm in your camp, and what your own personal experience reflects the experience collectively across Wisconsin and in Minnesota and in virtually in every other state where smoking bans have gone through. I would just say that it fits as well because, think about it, 80% of Wisconsin adults don't smoke.
Right.
And virtually everybody wants to be in a, nobody wants to come home smelly and with a cigarette burn on their clothes. It makes sense if 80% of people don't smoke that it's going to have a positive impact. Carly, you going to your local pub and letting them know how much you appreciate it, I think, is important. And finally, to the issue of whether the new administration is going to take a position on this, I believe that the new administration, the new legislature, recognizes the positives of a smoke-free Wisconsin, and will support that. So I'm optimistic. I think it's important for all of us who feel that way to let our elected representatives know that. But you know, there's so many positives here that it's hard to make a case to go back. Almost all of America now is smoke-free, and I don't think Wisconsin would want to become the ashtray a state that has reversed itself and gone back on a smoking ban.
Thank you again for calling. You know, Sue Ann Thompson has done an awful lot of work with women in the state, Governor Thompson's wife.
Yeah, I just can't say enough about Sue Ann Thompson and her Wisconsin Women's Health Foundation. Her daughter, Tommy Thompson, is a central part of that organization. There's not an entity in this state that I think of that has had more of an impact for improving women's health. They've got a program called First Breath, which specifically targets pregnant women who are smoking, because we know that there's no better return on investment in terms of health or money than helping a pregnant woman quit. It's the cause of so many miscarriages, so many SIDS deaths that we could prevent. And Sue Ann Thompson, the Wisconsin Women's Health Foundation, Tommy Thompson, together, they have now helped more than 10,000 pregnant women in our state. And for that effort, they should be commended. They're a wonderful organization.
Let's go to Dan in Kenosha next. Dan, hello to you. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. As a bar owner in Kenosha, and we just had a meeting about this with the other bar owners, our business is probably down 40%. The people that voted this down, maybe Carla goes into her establishment and visits, you know, and sees people, but the other people have all this. I don't have any new business walking in the door, and it's a very clean bar. We have a separate room that was thousands of dollars to put, you know, separate people, smokers from non-smokers, which the a lot of restaurants also did, and then they put this ban through. So you basically took business right out of our doors and left us just hanging. And a lot of businesses are closing now on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, not even bothering to, you know, open up.
All right. How do you respond to that?
Well, Dan, first, you know, I feel for you and your business. I mean, it's easy to say, but you have a family that you're supporting from that business, and I feel for you and am sorry that your business is down. With that said, when we look at our whole state, that isn't the collective experience. In fact, it's just the opposite. And my hope is that the people of Kenosha, most of whom don't smoke, we're actually working in Kenosha now with a study to help smokers quit in a bunch of Aurora clinics down there. And I've been down there a number of times over the last few months. It's a great community. I hope that the non-smoking members of Kenosha, which are the majority of them, hear Dan's plight and get out into the local pubs. Non-smokers should let pub owners know how much they appreciate it being smoke-free. And finally, they need to spend money in those pubs, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Dan, for calling. Michael in Milwaukee, we go to you next. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Oh, good morning. First of all, I'm an ex-smoker. I quit smoking in 1974. I think one of the reasons I quit is when cigarettes got up to about 50 cents a pack or so, I couldn't see spending that kind of money. Now I guess they're $5 a pack or whatever. I've been trying to get my wife to quit smoking for 20 years now. It's a horrific thing. I can see it on her. She looks like a smoker, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. But that being said, I think that people that are truly addicted to cigarettes and can't quit or find it really difficult to quit have, let's face it, addictive personalities, and it might be better that they're addicted to cigarettes than maybe hard drugs. If you have to have an addiction, it's probably, in my estimation, it's not as bad as being addicted to alcohol. I think alcohol is actually worse than cigarette smoking. One more thing, what might sound outlandish, I've heard all kinds of things like cut people off of Badger Care and ban cigarettes, which I certainly don't think should be done. But I really do not think that cigarette smoking adds to health care costs. I'm a firm believer that it doesn't. And my thinking on that is you have to die of something. And if you don't die, my father died from lung cancer from being a smoker at 68, which was a horrific thing in my life. But you know what? If you're just looking at dollars and cents, if he wouldn't have died from cigarette smoking like other people, you live longer, you're going to die from something, probably another cancer down the road. So you're just maybe deferring the health care costs down the road. That might sound cruel and uncaring, but that's the way I look at it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Mike.
Michael, lots of food for thought. Let me respond real quickly to your 3 points. The first about people who smoke have addictive personalities, and smoking's better than some of these other behaviors, hard drugs, whatever. Well, you know, I just can't buy that, and nor does the science buy it. I'm a firm believer that, Michael, just as you quit, that every smoker in Wisconsin can successfully quit if they're given the help they need to do it. Second point, you paid 50 cents a pack for cigarettes back in the 70s. Well, they're $6-7 a pack now. And what that translates into for the state of Wisconsin is $700 million in cigarette excise taxes every year, only $7 million of which go back to help smokers quit and prevent kids from starting. So I think we need to do more. And I believe if we did do more, we could help those smokers like Michael's wife. Last point. The data just don't support the premise that smoking, if you got to die of something, the data say that even when you factor in Social Security and other costs, smoking costs America in just added health care costs more than $100 billion with a B dollars. Here in our state, $2 billion. Wisconsin Medicaid, $500 million. I have to respectfully disagree with Michael and say that the data have been analyzed over and over and over again, and it comes up with one clear message, and that is that there is nothing that costs us more from a healthcare perspective than smoking. Thus, we need to do more to help smokers to quit.
Thanks again, Michael. John in La Crosse, we'll turn to you now. Hi, John.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Question I got for your guest is, I'm a non-smoker, but how many different ingredients are in a common cigarette? And you said nicotine's the addictive part. And what's the dangerous part of a cigarette? Is pure tobacco, if you roll and smoke pure tobacco, is that dangerous? Or what's the dangerous component of a cigarette and how many ingredients are in there? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Yeah, John, great question. It's estimated that there are more than 800 separate chemicals in cigarette smoke, 80 of which are carcinogens. And a lot of these actually come from burning cigarettes, because the process of burning tobacco generates some of these chemicals. I know there's cigarettes that are on the market that say that they're no additives, 100% pure. Well, sadly, 100% pure tobacco kills. Pure and simple. You don't need to have the additives. And the additives make it worse.
Yeah.
But they're plenty deadly, just as they are.
Judith emailed and says, I have a family member who recently took up smoking a hookah, is it? H-O-O-K?
Hookah, yeah.
Hookah? I'm not familiar with them either, neither is she. Can you tell us about hookahs?
Well, I think its origin is the Middle East, and it is basically burning tobacco in a central location with water.
Oh, yes.
Then people are around the side. They've got tubes that they're sucking the smoke out of, and the smoke goes through the water. There are these hookah bars. It's showing both of our age, Larry, that neither one of us know how to pronounce it. But, tobacco is tobacco, and if you smoke it, it causes addiction, and then ultimately it causes harm, costs, and death. I haven't mentioned it yet, but I just want to put a plug in for any Wisconsin smoker out there who's looking for some help, or any loved one who wants to get some information on how to help someone quit. 1-800-QUIT-NOW. The Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line is available free of charge to any smoker in our state, any loved one in our state. That number, again, is 1-800-QUIT-NOW. And I'm also going to mention the website we have at the medical school that has, it's the most popular website in the world for tobacco research, and it's www.CTRI.WISC.EDU, and it has a whole section on helpful information for smokers as a smoker icon. Plenty of help to get you through. You know, no matter where you've been or what you've done, how many times you've tried, you can't successfully quit. It's so hard, but it's doable. And think about calling 1-800-QUIT-NOW or visit our website for some extra help in doing so.
And the CTRI, of course, stands for?
The Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, our center at UW Med School. We're going to be celebrating our 20th anniversary in a year. It's been a force here in our state now for two decades.
Thank you for that information. We'll repeat that later. Let's go to Barbara in Superior next. Barbara, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. I was very emotional with your screener, but I am taking care of my husband, who has been a long-time smoker. He is on 24 oxygen. He has been in and out of the hospital, and they are talking about hospice. It is not a simple thing to quit, and I don't care. I'm sorry about the bar owners. I do not care about the South getting their tobacco. The smoking is very difficult. I am a professional who had to resign my job
to take care of my husband. And it is not an easy thing. And it is, we need obviously much more education not to start smoking in the beginning. But as a family member, watching my husband slowly die, he's part of a support group. There were a few left. And I don't know what else to say.
Barbara, I'm so sorry. I'm sure Dr. Fiore has some comments and words for you.
Yeah, well, Barbara, you've given a gift to all of Larry's listeners today by, in such a heartfelt and personal way, telling the story of tobacco use here in our state. You know, every year in Wisconsin, 8,000 families lose a loved one from a disease directly caused by their smoking. It's a number, it's a statistic, but for every one of those 8,000, there's a child who's lost a parent, there's a brother who's lost a sibling, and sadly, there is a wife who's lost a husband.
Yeah.
And you tell that story in a powerful way, Barbara. We are with you. Take advantage of the resources that are there to help you and your husband, and our thoughts and prayers are with you.
And thank you very much for calling. We turn to Tom in Iron River next. Tom, hello, and thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for answering. Do you know that there's legislation in Minnesota that's going to overturn the smoking in bars ban? And in Michigan, they've got a smoking ban, but they left it up to the bar owners whether it be smoking or non-smoking. I know a lot of bartenders and waitresses that are out of business, out of work, because of the smoking ban.
No.
Well, Tom, we're happy to hear your perspective. Just to speak to Minnesota, whether legislation has or has not been introduced there, you mentioned it has, so it must have. But you know, having visited Minnesota so many times and knowing that the new governor of that state is so committed to health in Minnesota. I think that the likelihood of Minnesota reversing its ban is next to zero. You know, it is without question that there are individual pub owners, tavern owners, for whom the smoking ban has been difficult, but collectively for our state, it has been positive from an economic perspective. It, in fact, is responsible for more jobs in our state, and it's quite straightforward. 80% of Wisconsin adults don't smoke. Most people who want to go to a restaurant, who want to go to a pub, who want to go to a tavern, who want to go to a fish fry, want to do it smoke-free. And it's because of that that we know that most Wisconsin residents support smoke-free Wisconsin, that overall, the economic results has been positive, and our job now, from my perspective, now that Wisconsin is safe and smoke-free, is what do we do to help the 800,000 smokers who remain, most of whom want to quit? Funding for helping them to quit has been cut dramatically, and given these terrible economic times, we have a powerful economic reason to help more Wisconsin smokers quit.
Thank you very much for calling. And I, you know, the amount of secondhand smoke that waiters and waitresses, well, anybody who works in a bar is considerable in those places. So I would think for their health, it's.
That's a great point, Larry. In fact, there have been a number of studies on the health of hospitality workers, particularly people working in taverns. And their health improves overall dramatically when establishments go smoke-free. They've done some analyses of waitresses and taverns. And what they found is working an eight-hour shift, the amount of secondhand smoke ingested was the equivalent of up to a pack of cigarettes a day. And that's all from secondhand smoke. So, you know, I often draw this analogy. If someone were to suggest that we should have a right to sprinkle a little bit of asbestos dust around, whether it's a tavern or a restaurant or a workplace, no one would even consider it. That would be unsafe. But secondhand smoke is much more dangerous than a little bit of asbestos dust.
Let's turn to Jean in East Troy next. Jean, hello.
Good morning. Wonderful program, but I am looking at a publication from my insurance company talking about bladder cancer screening and the relationship between bladder cancer and smoking. Had personal experience with this several years ago when my husband had a bladder tumor. They did remove it, and he was fine. But if people knew that they could get bladder cancer from smoking, might have to have a bladder removed, that would not be fun.
No.
Well, thanks, Jean, for sharing that. You know, we focus a lot on lung cancer, but in fact, more people die of heart attacks and strokes from smoking than die from lung cancer. But you're right. It causes cancer wherever it touches. So think about, you take a drag of cigarette smoke in, and it comes in your mouth, increased mouth cancer, goes down your throat, increased tracheal cancer, into your lungs, lung cancer. Then it gets metabolized, goes to your kidneys, more kidney cancer, goes to your bladder, more bladder cancer. It goes on and on and on. And, you know, these are a lot of statistics, but what it translates is into families such as Jean suffering the pain of a loved one being damaged by smoking.
Let's go back here as we're nearing the end here to helping people quit, because there are these resources, and let's go over those again, Dr. Fiore.
So I want to mention four.
Okay.
First, if you're a pregnant woman, go to the website of the Wisconsin Women's Health Foundation. First Breath is in 80 sites across Wisconsin helping pregnant women to quit. Second, any smoker can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. And get a trained counselor to help them to quit, and they'll even send you 2 weeks of a startup pack of nicotine patches or nicotine gum. Three, our website at the University Medical School, www.ctri.wisc.edu. And finally, there's a government-run, the National Cancer Institute runs a website called smokefree.gov. Which is a wonderful interactive website to help people quit online.
We will post those on my Facebook page, the Larry Miller Show, soon, right after the show, or maybe even during the show here yet. Dr. Fiore, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry, and to all the smokers out there who are thinking about quitting, it's a great time to quit.
Dr. Mike Fiore is from the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health and has been involved in this work for many, many years now. Actually, I went through the program, I don't know how many years ago it is now, close to 20 years ago. And I went through that quit smoking program, and I quit about 20 years ago. And as I've told him, I wouldn't be married today to... because my wife would never have gone out with me if had I been a smoker. So it's been a great thing for me, and it can be for you too. So I hope you'll look into it. If you didn't get those written down, just go to my Facebook page, The Larry Miller Show. You don't have to be a member of Facebook to get on that. You can, even if you're not a Facebook page person, you can still view that page and get those that bit of information that he passed along. Coming up, we're going to take a look. It's the last Monday of the month, isn't it? So that means the weather guys, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, will be joining us to talk weather and climate next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.